In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And, if you see on YouTube, I'm not in any of the usual places. Coming at you today from Indianapolis, Indiana, because I'm going to Fever Aces tonight, and we're going on Friday too. And we decided to take a trip, and, the boss said, that's fine as long as you still do the show. And so thus, I'm in a hotel room in Indianapolis, Indiana, doing the old radio show. Happy to do it, though. Happy to be here on a day where we hear Dan Quinn's first Wednesday press conference of the season. And the super producer, Anthony Haney, has informed me it was quite the long one. It was, Anthony, you said that DQ spoke for about 30 minutes today?
Yeah, it was 26 minutes, 38 seconds to be exact. So just give you guys a heads up of what to look forward to if you actually go listen to the presser.
Yeah, but see, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to listen to 26 minutes. What did you say, 26 minutes, 38 seconds?
Yes, sir.
I've been in a lot of Wednesday pressers. That's a long Wednesday presser. Yeah, you don't have to listen to all that. We're going to give you the best stuff because not only did Dan Quinn speak today. No, Jaden Daniels spoke today, and we actually think that he had perhaps – some more interesting things to say. So I want to start with Jaden and kind of, you know, we obviously did our film review yesterday on Take Command, and we also did it, you know, we let you hear some of it here on the show, and all of that is fine and dandy. But what did he learn when he watched the film? Because there's been a talking point that, you know, basically Jaden needs to, it's unsustainable, right? The offense, you can't possibly you can't possibly run Jaden Daniels this much. How could you? It's irresponsible, the play calling. Is Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn going to get Jaden Daniels killed? And I don't think that's an accurate reflection of how the game was actually called. With that said, it is certainly how it played out, where he was running far more than anybody anticipated, than they want. And so if that's the case, what responsibility do they have to kind of blend, let's call it, the reality of how these games might play out as he's early on in his progression and learning to read defenses and, you know, is told, hey, get through your progressions quickly, and he understands what that means, and knowing that when he gets to the end of possible throws, he's going to run. Okay, well, if we know that's going to happen a number of times per game, do we then have a responsibility to, say, throw more screens or just run the football and maybe take some of the read option stuff and just make it a straight handoff and live with the, you know, the possibility that we're giving up a chance at a big play if he pulls it and runs, but that's one less hit that we know he's not going to take. But it starts with understanding where Jaden is in his progression. So here's Daniels today when John Keim asked him, like, what did you actually see when you watched the tape?
Yeah, I mean, I could learn and I could grow in every aspect of my game. Obviously, you know, like I said, after the game, I graded myself hard. We didn't get the win. So, you know, it's kind of like, all right, we go back and watch the film. You watch the tape. It's never as good as you thought it was and never as bad as you thought it was. So you just move on. You learn from those lessons that you learned on tape. Take the coaching and move on to next week.
It's funny to hear him say that. It's never as good as you think it was. It never is as bad as you thought it was. And I think that can probably actually be applied as someone who's now watched a fair amount of tape in his media career. It's so funny to me how when you watch tape, all 22 around the league, like the margins of how good and bad teams are shrink real big. And everyone fits in a pretty narrow window of good and bad. It's just that the margins in this league are so small, and you really come to appreciate it that, you know, it really is a couple of plays here, a couple of plays there. And that can be both, you know, hey, I had a really great game. Oh, wow, I maybe got lucky in a couple plays. It's not quite as good as I thought. And it could have maybe even been better. Like, no quarterback has ever played a perfect game. You could say on a bad game, like, oh, man, it's just, you know, I know better. It's not that bad. Like, we're fine, or I got unlucky, or they got us, but we know how to plan for it next time. Like, it never winds up being as bad after you watch the tape. But also sometimes within a game, you're like, oh, man, I really goofed up that play. And you go back and watch it, and you're like, no, they just got us there. Or you're like, that was a, you know, I made the right play. And then you notice another guy that was open or, you know, something you didn't see pre-snap. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should have read the other side of the field. And if I had done that, I would have had a touchdown. So I think that idea that Jaden's talking about, that's going to be a learning process for him as a young player, for as mature and as advanced as he is, he still has played one NFL football game. And so it is both a, hey, like, some of this game was not as good as I thought. Some of this game was not as bad as I thought. But it's also something that week over week is going to be interesting to follow. Of course, it all gets reduced into this, I don't want to call it a narrative, but like this talking point, this thing that gets discussed of, is he running too much? Is this sustainable? And again, I would tell you, based off the actual film, he shouldn't have run that much. That was not a design. That was like a bug, not a feature. Yes, they ran him some intentionally, and I think there's a couple of those design runs later in the game where I'm like, hey, you're probably not winning here. Let's just avoid him taking some hits. But by and large, they did not run him a grotesque amount on purpose, and there are plenty of plays where he should have very easily had other options to not run. And I will also say he did a fairly good job of like getting down and getting out of bounds too. It's not like he ran it 16 times and took 16 hits. And the biggest hit he took was in the pocket when Cornelius Lucas got beat, the one like really bad snap that he had, and got blasted from the blind side, fumbled, and thankfully Tyler Biadasz fell on the football. But Scott Abraham from ABC7 asked him, like, what do you think about that balance of running too much, so to speak, that has become the talking point around the Commanders this week?
Jaden, this week a lot has been made of your 16 rushing attempts in your first game. The processing there, it's so quick, obviously, during the middle of the game. What are you seeing when you think of, like, okay, I got to tuck it and run? Well, like, what are you looking for to make you want to, you know, I got to use my legs here?
I'll just say based off the situation. Obviously, that's, like, situational things. You know, you kind of just go from there. I can't really tell. It's like a instinctual thing, feel thing, like, hey, the time is up. Obviously, you don't want to get hit by 300-pound-plus people. So, you know, it's kind of just like a – that's kind of – growing up my whole life, man, it's like – man, it's like just an instinct. Like, that time – that clock in your head is like, all right, it's time to go.
I think it is a perfectly reasonable answer. And I think it's one that also is going to evolve over time, because having the clock is good. We've seen quarterbacks who don't have the clock. We saw last year a quarterback whose clock was not exactly finely tuned, right? Sam Howell stood in the pocket too long. He didn't have a great feel of when it was time to go, because Sam had really great escapability and he had the ability to throw on the run and like do all these things. But sometimes he just stood there too long, or sometimes he would actually invite pressure by stepping the wrong way or not taking a drop back at the right angle, aka most of the time in, you know, drop back passing, straight back behind the center. He'd fade to one side or the other, and that would cause issues with the protection. And so with Jaden having that pocket feel, understanding where the middle of the pocket is, and ultimately that clock being finely tuned, is a positive quality. The question that is going to remain for him, and that should evolve, or the answer to this question should evolve over time, starting this week against the Giants, is what happens when that clock goes off? Do you run, or do you bow out, extend the play, keep your eyes upfield? Because there's, you know, sometimes it was the right decision to get out of the pocket, but it wasn't necessarily the right decision to take off and run. Like the first scramble of the game, one, if he just backpedals a little bit, he probably can find Terry McLaurin on a crosser. That's one after watching it again and again, talking with Logan about it, rewatching it, etc. I initially had that down as a good scramble. I don't think it's a bad scramble, because there's pressure pretty quickly, but it's not an optimal scramble. And when he gets out of the pocket, he has, I think it's Austin Ekeler right in front of him, just throw the ball to Ekeler. You don't need to run it. Just get the ball to Ekeler and let him try to make the play. It's third and 21. You don't need to take a chance there with you running the football. And I think on that one, he winds up running out of bounds, but I think he takes a shot as he does. So ultimately, you know, if I have the details of that, whatever. But the concept is when you get out of the pocket, what happens? Is it one, two, three, even you get through the progression and run? Or is it, let me extend the play and see if I can find something big down the field, which is something that we saw him do quite a bit in camp. But the game that we saw on Sunday against Tampa was far more reminiscent of a lot of the stuff we saw on tape at LSU. So can he become the guy that he was in camp or become the guy he was in camp when the lights are on for real Sunday at, I can't believe I'm saying this, Northwest Field. Yes, that's what it's called now. Don't forget, it's not FedEx anymore. It's not Commander's Field. Northwest Field against the Giants on Sunday. When we get back on the Hoffman Show, more from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn as both of them spoke today. And then coming up at 4:30, a deeper dive into the tape on the defensive side of the ball. We'll take some of what Logan said on Take Command and flush it out in terms of what we need to see moving forward, because while all we want to talk about all year long is Jaden Daniels, the bigger issue in the context of the game on Sunday was that that defense gave up 37 points. Why? And does it actually fit into a larger trend that we saw around the NFL? We'll discuss as we go in hour number one of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. So, gotcha some from news of the day from Jaden Daniels. I don't know if we call it news of the day. What do we call that, Anthony? Sound aided analysis. We let people hear from Jaden Daniels. I said stuff that hopefully made sense, that framed the main talking point in command land right now. Sound. It's not soundproofed. Sound enhanced analysis.
I don't have the correct name for it, but I think whatever you come up with, I think is appropriate.
You're just co-signing. You're like, whatever, bro. it sounds good to me. Okay, great. Excellent. Thanks for your help, Anthony. Anthony's doing so much right now that people should understand. There's a lot happening behind the scenes of the show today. And Anthony is making stuff happen, earning his paycheck. Which like, sometimes that it'd be like that. Not the life, I mean, I guess we all deserve. I don't want to get too far into this. The point is that there actually is news and notes from the day sound-wise, and we are going to get to those now as Dan Quinn spoke for nearly 30 minutes on his first, you know, Wednesday press conference, I guess second because last week, but first one after a game. So Wednesday's this weird day as someone who used to be a beat reporter because you have all this stuff that you want to ask from the weekend. You've had a chance to watch the tape, which is not the case the last time you talked to the coach, although that might change a little bit more this year. This is like a low-key thing to watch with the NFL pro stuff. Now that most of the people that like actually watch film will have watched it by Monday because it's available at 6 a.m. versus the rest of us waiting on Game Pass for it to publish at noon on Tuesday if we were lucky and it was on time. I do wonder if the Monday pressers get a little better because there's just stuff that you can see on tape that the coaches would have seen that we would then ask on Wednesday. And it's funny because by Wednesday, the coaches are all like full steam ahead. Like, hey, no, I'm focused on, you know, Dan Quinn hit you with it. I'm focused on New York right now. We're not looking back. Dan doesn't really seem like that stylistically, but Jay would do that. You know, Ron would do that. And that's not shots at those dudes because a lot of coaches around the league, you know, the old Belichick, oh, we're on to Cincinnati, you know, doing that bit. But, like, by Wednesday, they're ready to focus on the next one. They've done their game review. They've flushed it. They've had to tell the truth Monday. But It is a chance to kind of ask, hey, what happened on this, you know, with this player? Did you get medical stuff back? What now, you know, hey, this player that didn't play on Sunday, what is it? So it's kind of this cool, not cool, but it's this pivot day, in terms of the press conferences and all that stuff. So, couple of big things that Dan Quinn got asked about today. Let's start off with Emmanuel Forbes. He left the game on Sunday. That is indisputable. That much we know. The last play he played, he picked up a double penalty. It was a pass interference and a face mask, and he didn't see the field again. However, there was also rumblings that there was an injury situation with that, that it wasn't just for performance. Noah Igbinoghene had been in and out of the lineup prior to that and then permanently replaced Forbes after that play. So, Dan Quinn, answer the question, sir. What the heck happened with Emmanuel Forbes on Sunday, and what can we say about him moving forward?
Yeah, he banged up his wrist, and so he'll have a splint on that today. We got good news; it's not going to knock him out, but he is going to, you know, wear a splint on that wrist to help protect that today, and we'll work it through the week. And like Emmanuel, like a number of the guys, man, like we're working really hard to develop him. You know, would he want some plays back? You bet. But I'd also say, like, this is a young player that we're developing and working with him. And so, you know, he's improving and going to improve. So that's where we're at on that, John.
I think the hard thing with Forbes is going to be, like, how much are you working to develop him on the field and how much are you working to develop him in practice? Because you can't live with what he's giving you on the field. And if he's going to play like he did on Sunday, I don't know that Dan Quinn's going to live with that, because I don't think that he competed at the level that Dan expects. But the problem is the drop-off. Like, one, Benjamin St. Juice is already playing out of position as a number one corner, and we've known that for a long time, and I actually genuinely feel bad for Benjamin because he's a good corner who is a fine number two. You're not like, oh, heck yeah, Benjamin St. Juice is our number two corner. But if Benjamin St. Juice is definitively your number two corner, you're like, We can live with this. You know, we can have him be out there competing, and we'll do, you know, what we need to do help wise. And, you know, if we need to shadow a number one with a legit number one corner, that's fine. So if, say, I don't know, they had drafted Christian Gonzalez last year, like the whole world wanted them to, instead of Emmanuel Forbes, the guy that they drafted, the Benjamin St. Juice discussion is different. You know, when you make a little tiny mistake against Mike Evans, the results are different than, you know, even Jalen McMillan, who obviously got the Commanders a couple times on Sunday, but as a rookie, you know, receiver and a third guy, like, he got coverage bust benefits. You know, he's not up there ripping balls away and focusing through good coverage where, you know, a hand's, you know, in the way of the catch in the same way that Mike Evans was. And that's unfortunately been the story of Benjamin St. Juice the last couple of years. So you're already playing St. Juice out of position as a CB1 instead of CB2, if you will. Then you have the reality that Igbinoghene is, while he competes his face off, is worse, or, you know, did not have as good of a camp in terms of consistency of high-level play that even Forbes did. And Michael Davis was below both those dudes, and that's the dude you signed in free agency. So I don't know what the plan is there, especially if Emmanuel's hurt. I almost am like, give him a week off. Although, if you're going to have him face the Giants, like, do you want him coming back against T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? I don't know. Their schedule is a nightmare at the wide receiver position, or at for their corners, because they're playing such great wide receivers. But that is where we stand on this Wednesday. We'll obviously see what happens with Emmanuel on Friday. It sounds like he's going to play, but what's that rotation like? That we probably won't know until Sunday. What would help Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice and Noah Igbinoghene and the entire secondary is more pass rush. So are they going to get that from the inside with the re-addition of Johnny Newton? What is the status of the Commander's second-round pick? Here's DQ.
When you're coming back from this, you may see him out today, but that's to set up for tomorrow. So we pushed it hard with him, conditioning that yesterday, hold today, but we wanted the padded day for him to tomorrow. And then, so we're trending in the right way, much like we were talking about with Noah. We'll kind of have a better sense for when we get to Friday, but he's definitely trending in the right spot. So we're close for sure. And but I'll trust my eyes and make sure he's going through all the whole process to get ready. But he's definitely pushing it hard to get into this mix.
I mean, that would be nice. You know, I think most people were on Sunday going, who is number 64? And that is not an ideal place to be in week one of an NFL season, is figuring out, is that who? Huh? I don't know that player, especially if you paid attention, especially if, say, you cover the team. Because that was me going, Wait, who's 64? Sheldon Day. They signed him to the practice squad, you know, after cuts. And he was the guy they brought up. So definitely much more ideal once they can get Johnny Newton out there and hopefully can immediately step in and play at a decently high level, certainly higher than what they're getting. It does make you kind of, I don't want to say scratch your head or second guess. I wonder if they have, they wish they had held on to John Ridgeway a little longer. Probably not, because this is, they're not short-terming anything. And I actually approve of that, for whatever my approval is worth, which is, I mean, you're listening to the show, so it's worth something. But at the end of the day, you know, Big Phil's going to have to continue to step up. They're going to have to get more pass rush and finish from John and Duran. And then obviously, hopefully these outside guys can play better when they're not having to pass rush against Tristan Wirfs, who might be the best left tackle not named Trent Williams in all of football. Last but not least, wide receiver position was definitely a stunner on Sunday when the inactive list came out. And it's like, oh, Noah Brown's not playing at all. He's inactive. How is the acclimation process going for him? And can we expect to see him as soon as this Sunday?
Where do you kind of see him fitting? And now that you've seen sort of the other pieces from one game, how do you kind of see him fitting and moving forward?
Yeah, we really see that trending in the right way. And so Noah worked really hard to kind of, you know, offense, you can imagine all the system to get down to go, but he's worked really hard to that. So, yeah, we're definitely trending in the right space for him to get up and be ready. So he's definitely chomping at the bit and was certainly wanting to last week as well. But best thing, let's make sure we continue that. But, yeah, he's really trending in the right direction on that then.
And it's important to remember for Brown, not only is he acclimating to the playbook and all that kind of stuff, he also is coming off an injury. So to me, that answer sounds like some of this is much more injury related than it is, oh, he doesn't know the playbook yet because he just got here, et cetera, et cetera. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And on Wednesdays, what we're going to do is we're going to take some of the analysis that Logan Paulson gives us in Take Command, and we're going to talk about it because Logan obviously is great at breaking down the tape and, you know, really narrowing in on what's important and what's not, and, you know, trying to fit that advanced analysis of a guy who played 10 years in the NFL because he was so smart, and where does that fit in kind of the larger narratives of the team. That is what we're going to do Wednesdays at 4:30, and we're going to give it our first shot next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock today, not my beat, as usual, but we got a new guy from the beat. Not a new guy. You guys have heard him on the radio station before. I just don't think that we've had him on the show, which is totally my miss. He does a really good job. He's been dedicated to this for a long time. And I'm happy to welcome him into our rotation. David Harrison, Sports Illustrated, is going to join us. I know he spends the time grinding the tape. He asks good questions at press conferences. He's around. He's developed relationships over the years because he's been doing it now for quite a few. So I'm excited to welcome David on the show. We're going to do that at 5 o'clock. 5:30 today, I'm probably, if I'm being honest, with all due respect to David, much more excited about this, Anthony, because it is our first – our second competition Wednesday. And Anthony, that means you are going to have to spin the wheel of punishment. Although today is going to be, oh, wow, that is a big wheel. I now see the wheel of punishment is empty, but I have an alternate method. We will get the official wheel going next week because, I mean, we'll obviously, I guess we're revealing right now, I won. I don't think, considering, you know, what people know about our various picks from the games, you didn't have to pick poorly. And then we're going to spin a wheel. But between me being in Indianapolis and thus I cannot spin the wheel as the victor to pick your punishment, and the fact that we just got the wheel today and haven't had time to load it up with the punishments yet, I have an alternate method that I'm going to employ as long as the other person that I need to do it agrees to be helpful.
We might not need the alternate method because Matt Essick might help me out with the wheel.
Oh.
Yes, I already know how to like set it up. I just have to cut the actual things out. So
you just have to do a small arts and crafts project. But you gave it the arts and crafts project to Matt Essick.
Not necessarily. All he's doing is printing out the words for me, and then I'm going to do the actual crafting.
Okay.
You'll see.
I'm kind of surprised. I thought Matt Essig would be like, I would love to do an arts and crafts project.
So he actually he proposed some new punishments.
I mean, I get veto power over them at least starting next week. But if you approve of them, they can go on the board for this week because you're the only one that's going to have to suffer them.
Yeah, I definitely approve one of them. One of them.
You approve one.
Do you want to know now?
No, we can have people stay tuned till 5:30. But yeah, that's coming up at 5:30. Is Competition Wednesday? Because that's what they do in Ashburn, Competition Wednesdays. Let's certainly hope that Competition Wednesday this week leads to a better outcome than it did over the weekend in Tampa. And so what we're going to do on Wednesday is take a little bit of Take Command's analysis, because Tuesday we record our tape pod and then we share with you on the radio at 5:30 the Jaden Daniel Tape Tuesday Take Command breakdown, right? Then whatever we think is the most interesting thing not from that, we're going to discuss amongst ourselves on Wednesday. So, it's Wednesday, it's 4:30, it's time to get into it, and what we thought was most interesting is talking about the defense, because, you know, we spend so much time talking about Jaden Daniels and the offense, because it's Jaden Daniels, and that makes a lot of sense, because he's the future of the franchise, but obviously the defense can go a long way to supporting Jaden Daniels, and with that, we thought it would be interesting to get Logan's analysis of what he thought went wrong on Sunday. And so there's three main things that I think come together. Let's start off with just the kind of big picture. What did Logan have to say about the defense's performance overall?
I mean, first, like, you don't need to be a 10-year NFL player to see that, but like, that's ultimately what it comes down to. Like, what did Jay Gruden say to you? Like, sometimes you just got to make plays. Like they're in a good spot. Like, to make a play. I think there, I don't remember the exact number, but it's like four or five opportunities for sacks, like in second and long or third and long situations or third medium situations. And the rush pattern's good. You're there. Let's just finish that sucker. So kudos to Baker. You got to give him credit. I mean, he played about as good at football games as he could have played. But I think that's something that is important, right? It's like it comes down to making plays at some point. And I know this is like not the most detailed, but like the X's and O's got you there. And I know it's going to be tough, but we got to finish some of those. And think about if you end up with four more sacks there in this game, like huge. On third downs, like it's or second and longs, and it's second and 15. Like the defensive performance is significantly better.
And to be honest, like sometimes it's right. Jay used to say that all the time. I think he might have said it on Russell's show, earlier this week. Like, you know, Dan calls it finish. Jay would be like, "Oh, you got to go make a play." Whatever your version is, like sometimes you're in good position, you do the right stuff. And to be honest, Anthony, this is something that I don't think fans are going to be very excited to hear me say. And frankly, I am not super excited, for me to say it, but that might be a reality this year. This is what happens when you have a talent deficiency. Like, you got a bunch of guys that can follow instructions but aren't good enough to actually make the plays. And while I don't think that is going to happen to the extreme it happened on Sunday for a couple of reasons that we will get into, it is a reality that we have to deal with that, like, there might just be some days this year where you get plays made on you by receivers over these DBs, where the pass rush doesn't get home because your edge players are only so good. And that is an unfortunate reality of being in year one in a rebuild where you spent your first round pick on a quarterback and, you know, you don't get that impact player otherwise in the first round that's super ready to play. The second round pick is hurt, but worth it in the long term. They obviously think your young DB in Sandra Still is going to take some time to you know, he's going to make some plays, but he's also going to miss some. And the other thing that I think has kind of emerged as a theme around the NFL this weekend is teams that have continuity succeeded, and they had a deeper understanding of what they needed to do, and they were battle-tested and fire-tested in a way that a team like the Commanders, with all this new personnel, more new personnel than any other team in the league, and a new coaching staff, all these players have not played for these coaches before with rare, rare exception, and even in those exceptions, it's been a while. Like, you know, Eric Cliffs last year in Arizona was 2021, and Zach Ertz played for him then. You know, Bobby Wagner's played for DQ But it's Joe Witt's defense, and that was a long time ago. So unless you're like Dorrance Armstrong in this defense last year, there just isn't a lot of continuity. Meanwhile, you know, Baker, when you come to talk about making plays, like Baker and Mike Evans have been playing together for a couple years. Mike Evans was gone from Tampa. They put out a statement last year that he, you know, oh, this will be my last year in Tampa, whatever. And then they had an awesome season. They re-signed Baker, and Mike's like, yeah, actually, I think I'll stay. I think I like it here. Chris Godwin, same thing in terms of continuity. And Baker has run this system from Liam Cohen before with the Rams in 2022, and there's a lot of carryover from the stuff that they did last year. And with that, you kind of think as a defense, you might have a beat on some of that, but the offense is already one step ahead, which gets to Logan's next point, which is a lot of the stuff that the Bucs did in week one is not what you would have expected the Bucs to do in week one.
Overall, I think I just wanted to say this after watching the film. First off, Liam Cohen was like in his bag, man. They did a lot of stuff offensively that I was like, how are you supposed to fit this having not scouted it? Like, how are we supposed to fit this run? Like, so that's one thing is like they ran a ton of traps. They ran a ton of whams. So basically like on the interior, like a trap is when like you have a three technique. So someone lined up over the outside shoulder of the guard, he's penetrating that B gap and you're pulling the backside guard to kick him out. And of the things on my bingo card that I would prep for, outside zone duo power counter, were the four things that I kind of said, we got to prep for this based on what Sean does in LA. That's where Liam Cohen was last. Trap and wham were not very high on my list. And so you're asking guys to fit a bunch of runs that are not like normal runs you fit consistently. Like obviously Philly made that kind of in vogue like probably 4 years ago. And so you prepped it when you played Philly, but you don't prep it versus everybody else because not everybody runs it. So that was one thing that stuck out to me. The motions and the shifts that at the line of scrimmage stuff I thought was excellent by Tampa Bay, which puts them in a tough spot.
And that's smart offensive coordinating. You know, when you're a defensive coordinator, and especially in week one or even every week in, week out, like your time is precious. These reps are precious. And so you want to prep the stuff and spend time on the stuff that you think the other team's going to run. And they got this week on that front because based off of all available data and information, that wasn't what you would expect a Liam Cohen, the Bucs OC, his offense to do. And they did a good job of being a step ahead, something they could do because they had the continuity to build on some of the base stuff that they already had in and take advantage of what, you know, the Commanders want to ultimately be. They'll be more prepped for it moving forward because you got to understand, hey, if this is how we're going to go, this is the counterpunch. Okay, well, let's be ready for the counterpunch. But a lot of that motion shift and some of that stuff Logan talks about at the end there also messed up the DBs, where they did a good job of making the Commanders' defensive backs make decisions. And because they don't have they're young players, and two, they don't have the experience together, which again, like if you want to criticize, hey, you should have played them more in the preseason, et cetera, I think that's totally fair. But you have this young defensive backfield that's got to communicate on some complex route concepts. And we all know it didn't go great. Here's Paulson one more time.
There were times where they were just not on the same page in the back end, like from a leverage standpoint. And this is something that London Fletcher talked about. You know, I'm on the sideline during the game. I hear the DB coach, you know, giving those guys a talking to, not about making plays, but just about being in the right leverages oftentimes. And that just wasn't that was a consistent issue that they were having. And so I think much like we talked about some of Jaden's maturation on offense and the offense in general, just kind of growing into itself. I think there's a little bit of that, a lot of that happening on defense with the secondary in terms of where they need to be, where they need to be forcing people to their help. I am really glad to hear the coaches coaching that, because that's something that was not a thing prior to this. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't a point of emphasis. So they understand the limitations of the defense. The coach does, understands the limitations of the defense, where the help is. It's just about getting guys familiar. And I think, again, this was a tough week one matchup because they do a lot offensively and you didn't get to scout it. So I understand this was going to be tough. But I do think that that was one thing that I took away, is like just the attention to detail that the staff expects and the players expect from themselves wasn't where it needed to be, and obviously there was some big plays as a result of it.
And I think that's the difference, right? Moving forward, it's not just oh, hey, that was bad. We got to fix it. It's like, no, we know, we already know what the fix is. Like, we got to implement it. How do we get it through to the guys? And that is a step ahead of where they were in previous seasons with the previous regime. And so I know, like, I am not here to tell you, and nobody should try to tell you, that the defensive performance on Sunday was not reminiscent of what we've seen in years past. And in that way, oh my God, how frustrating. Really, all this new stuff, and they played basically the exact same. What I would say is I have a lot more faith in this staff to fix it. And they probably knew some of the stuff that was happening in real time, and there's just not a whole lot they could do, which might ultimately wind up, if they can't fix it in fairly short order, a reflection of the player's ability to fix it, to process the information they need of like, oh, these two players are going to make us make a decision. Let's make sure we communicate who takes who, and you don't have Jalen McMillan burst open because Quan Martin and Mike Sanders still latch onto the same dude and then leave him running wide open. So the fixes exist. They have to implement them, and it should be a lot easier on Sunday for a lot of reasons, including Daniel Jones being the trigger man for the Giants, although we all know, just so I don't jinx it, Daniel Jones has turned into some form of Tom Brady every time he sees burgundy and gold. All right, when we get back, Anthony's art project. No, really. Anthony, we're going to do the art project next.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Hoffman Show. It is super producer Anthony Haney taking over for a little bit. Craig is currently using the bathroom. But yes, we have to talk about Competition Wednesday. That is what we must do. Last week, Craig and I picked out three games. And I end up being the loser in this situation. And that may not surprise a lot of you guys, but typically that is what happens when we pick these games. I end up on the short end of the stick. So that means I now have to do one of the six or seven punishments that we agreed on last week. And I'm waiting on Craig right now because Matthew Essick, he did suggest a few things that I have added to the list, but Craig hasn't necessarily. Hey, Craig, there he is.
Extend the commercial break.
I was trying, but we already came back.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. What have we done this segment, Anthony?
I mean, I was basically about to run down the list of punishments that we agreed on last week before I added them to the board, and then also share a couple of suggestions from Matthew Essick.
Okay. I think this is a good plan.
Okay. Also, Craig, you'd be proud of me because I took over the show and I did a good job, I think.
Maybe we have to take this off the potential punishment board because that is, you know, making Anthony do like a segment. At least half a segment,
yeah.
Was something that we were considering.
All right. So we had lunch, of course. That was easy.
Yeah, that's easy. Just the loser buys winner lunch. If they want to buy themselves lunch too, they can.
We had 100 push-ups.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I'm in this shirt of mine. I don't know if I could bust out a couple.
Yeah, why are you all dressed up today?
Today was picture day at my middle school, so I'm all, you know, Dapper Dan. I had the blue blazer. I got the gray pants. I got the loafers on. I got the dress socks. You can't put on dress shoes with white socks. That's all I'm saying.
Obviously.
So we got 100 push-ups, a fantasy football sub.
Yeah, so that one is winner gets to make a sub on the loser's fantasy team. And, like, no, not a trade, just a 1 week, I'm benching your best player because you should have picked the games better.
Yeah. The fourth one was an ice bath. I think Rachel came up with this one.
Yeah, Rachel submitted ice bath. That was a great one.
Great one.
We need to come up with the ramification. Like, is it 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes?
Yeah, that is.
I think the weekly one we can keep it to like 3 minutes.
Okay, that's cool. And then here comes Matthew Essick. So one,
I'm terrified of these because he is a twisted man.
A costume show.
Oh, you just have to do the show in a costume. That's not a bad bit.
It's not.
I feel like it has to be like a very light costume. Because again, these should be more funny than painful on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Right? The whatever we decide for the end of the year, yeah, we, you know, you might have to do an entire show in like a dino suit or something. But yeah. Like a small something, just like, you know, it'd be really funny is like, you know, the glasses and the mustache.
Yep.
Just like that. You have to do an entire 3 hours in that.
Yeah, something slight. At first, he had proposed going to a game in a costume. I said that might be like an end of a season kind of a thing, but yeah, we need something weekly. So
people on the internet are like, they didn't get the bit. It's like, no. This is a small weekly competition. This is not the game. This is a competition Wednesday. This is not competition Sunday. It's competition Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. So he also had extra hot wings.
I did think about like a hot ones adjacent challenge.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I don't think that's the worst. Like, not the hottest wing, but like the Buffalo Wild Wings just closed right down the road, I think.
Yeah,
in
they
Navy
did.
Yard.
Oh, no, it's still open, I think.
It still is? I don't know. Someone told me it was closed.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
No, Russell said not.
No, it's, well, yeah. I mean, talk about an expert. like mango habanero level hot.
Yeah.
Not like your, like.
Like the little chip that they
had. What's the one on Hot Ones that everyone dies on? That's terrible. Atomic. Or Da Bomb, that one. Like, we're not, that's a year-end bit.
Yeah.
We're talking about the wing before, maybe the one before that for a weekly.
Yeah. And then the other two that he proposed are a little insane.
Okay.
And I mean a lot insane. Okay. One was an IHOP stay-in, and then two was a...
Too involved. And plus, we're trying to do them during the show.
Yeah. The other one was a paintball from 15 feet. That's painful.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much.
That one's
very
painful.
Matt Essick. If they want to do those on their show, they can. No, ours are. And plus, like that's part of us shrinking some of these down is we want to be able to do them, except for the ice bath, I guess. Although that would be pretty amazing if we just filled up an ice bath or a garbage can somewhere in the station and do it that way, old school. But most of them, we want to be able to do them on the show. So if you have to eat your hot wings or whatever on the show, then we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
I like the Hot Wings one because we can just go down the street. If B-Dubs wants to sponsor it.
And the costume show.
We can do that. And I like the costume.
All right. So we got six.
Okay. That's six. Okay. Now you need to finish the wheel.
Yes. I got to do that.
And that's all right. Cool. I like where we're at. I like where we're at. You know else, why else I like where we're at? Because David Harrison is going to join us next for Not My Beat on a Competition Wednesday here on the Team 980.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.